in the first verse of chapter 6 says, "And the ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months." Now, as we just mentioned, it's difficult to know why man will hang on to sin for so long, why man will continue to displease God, knowingly displease God, and reaping the consequences of this sin, and not be so apt, so willing to turn loose of his sin. That seems to be a mystery here concerning these Philistines, why they continue to hold the ark for so long, since it had done so much destruction. It seems that all the people in the country had either been afflicted with death or with this terrible disease called the emerods. We're going to also learn that the mice had taken over their fields, and their very God had been degraded and defeated by the presence of this ark. But they kept it for 7 months. Well, verse 2, "And the Philistines called for the priests and the diviners, saying, What shall we do with the ark of the Lord? Tell us wherewith we shall send it to his place." So finally they decided to consult their priests and their diviners. Just precisely what office these diviners had, we do not know, but there are bound to be people that they felt could miraculously interpret things and give them some kind of supernatural guidance. And so they called and asked them, "What shall we do with this ark of the Lord? Wherewith shall we send it to his place? How are we going to get it out of here? What's the best way to attack this problem of getting rid of this ark now that we've gotten it and all the consequences that have gone with it?" And they said, "If you send away the ark of the God of Israel, send it not empty, but in any wise return him a trespass offering. Then you shall be healed, and it shall be known to you why his hand is not removed from you." So how much of this they were just imagining and how much they might have had some real true feeling for, it's hard to say. But they knew something about the worship of Israel. They knew a little bit about the law of Moses. Israel was the nation that was foremost in being faithful to its God and having a precise worship to carry out and a set of laws to guide and to follow. And so these wise men of the Philistines knew something about this. They didn't know the whole truth, and they had it quite distorted, but they then attempted to piece things together. They said, "If you're going to send this ark back, send it not empty." Now, they knew that God did require peace offerings, trespass offerings, sin offerings, and so they realized that he wanted some kind of an offering. Not that he wanted an offering from them, not that they would be able to please him in any kind of way, but this was their idea. Send it back, not empty. But in any wise, return him a trespass offering. So put an offering on there, a trespass offering, trying to atone for the fact that we have trespassed his holy thing, that we have brought this ark of God here against his will. We have aroused his displeasure, and so let's send a trespass offering. They say, "Then ye shall be healed." Now, it seemed that this disease of the emerods was a disease for which they were not able to bring about any kind of healing. Their physicians, their methods of treatment, whatever they employed, seemed to fail. So these wise men are saying, these priests and diviners of the Philistines are saying, that if you send it back with a trespass offering, ye shall be healed. Now, they didn't know whether to really believe this or not, but they were proposing this as a great possibility. This will bring about a healing if you atone to the God that you have stolen this ark from. "And it shall be known to you why his hand is not removed from you." Now, if he healed you after giving the trespass offering and sending the ark back home, if he heals you, then you'll know why you have this trespass, you'll know why you're having these problems, and you'll know why his hand has not been removed from you up to this point. That'll be proof. If you get a healing after you send the ark back, it's going to be proof then that having the ark is what caused you then to not be healed. Verse 4, "Then said they, What shall be the trespass offering which we shall return to him?" So they wondered, what kind of an offering will we give? And so the priests and the diviners, they answered, 5 golden emerods and 5 golden mice, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines, for one plague was on you all and on your lords." So the answer was to send 5 golden emerods, that is some kind of an image signifying this disease that they had of having the emerods, and then 5 golden mice. And apparently, they had a plague of mice, which we will learn later, and it's not mentioned up to this point, so they're sending 5 golden mice as an atonement for that plague. And they're going to send 5 of each number because that's the number of lords that they have, these 5 major cities, and the 5 lords that are the council that rule the country. Now, we're going to learn also later that they sent more than 5 mice, but at this point they're proposing 5 mice. And apparently they'd had a plague of mice in the field eating their corn, and they considered this plague to also be connected with their having the Ark of the Lord. Verse 5, "Wherefore you shall make images of your emrods and images of your mice that mar the land." So the mice had been marring the land, been bringing about destruction upon the land. So their mighty army, their mighty well-organized nation, has been brought to its knees by a disease that is a very unpleasant and undignified form of illness to have, and also by these little animals known as mice that are marring the land. "And you shall give glory unto the God of Israel. Peradventure he will lighten his hand from off you and from off your gods and from off your land." So they didn't know for sure that this would appease God, but they're saying peradventure. Perhaps there's a good possibility now that if you do these things, it's going to give glory to this God of Israel, and it's going to remove his plague, his punishment of you. It's going to have him to lighten his hand from off you. They had certainly felt the hand of God in this disease and death that they had experienced as a result of having the ark there. And also from off your gods, that is, their own god Dagon had been damaged and humiliated by the presence of the ark. He'd been broken so that only the fish part of the body was left, just the very stump of the islet was what was left. And from off your land. So apparently the hand of God had fallen on the land by having the mice to come and mar the land. Verse 6, "Wherefore then do ye harden your hearts as the Egyptians, and Pharaoh hardened their hearts." Now they knew something about the history of the Israelites. They knew about their being in Egyptian bondage, and God having brought them out of that Egyptian bondage. And one of the methods that God employed was to bring the plagues upon the Egyptians. And the Egyptians would not have had 10 plagues if they had simply let the people go. If they let them go after one plague or two plagues or three plagues, the plagues would have been stopped right there. But because of the hardness of their heart, they refused to let the people go. Pharaoh refused to bow to the will of God, and consequently they had 10 plagues. And so these priests and diviners are reasoning along this line. Why do you harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts? Why are you doing like they did? You're following in the same steps they followed in, and they had 10 plagues before they finally were brought to their knees. There's no use to do that. This ark's not that important to us. Why are we so obstinate about it? Why have we kept it this long? Let's go ahead and return the ark and get out from under this great punishment that God has inflicted upon us. So, why do you harden your hearts as the Egyptian and Pharaoh hardened their hearts? And when he wrought wonderfully among them, did they not let the people go? And they departed. So, when finally they did let the people go out of Egypt, the plagues left. And the reasoning is, if we will get this ark out of here, then the plagues are going to be lifted from us. So, they're trying to take a lesson from history, and that's a wise thing to do. To learn what God and how God has acted towards sin in the past, how he feels about it, and what it takes to get out from under these punishments that God has inflicted upon those that trespass against him. If we learn from the past, we can then take those lessons and apply them to the present and extricate ourselves from many, many difficulties. So these things are written that have happened before times for our learning. They're written for our admonition. They're written for us to take and apply to our lives these great principles that God has laid down so that we then can benefit from it. Now we're going to see, beginning in verse 7, the method that these priests and diviners recommended for getting the ark out and getting it back to Israel. Verse 7 says, Now therefore make a new cart, and take two milk kine, on which there hath come no yoke, and tie the kine to the cart, and bring their calves home from them. So they're to take a new cart. Of course, it's always appropriate to put the things of God on something that has not been used for any other purpose, that has not been used for any other God, any other type of worship, because God will not share with that. Now, whether they realized this or not, we do not know, but they were trying to glorify God. They were trying to finally recognize Him and give Him some kind of honor to get out from under this terrible plague that they were under. So they put this on a new cart, or recommended to put it on a new cart. And then they were to take two milk cows on which there had come no yoke. That is, cows that had not been trained to pull a cart. They had not been trained to work a cart and go together on the cart. They were just going to be cows that were put here with no training whatsoever as to how to pull this cart, on which there had come no yoke, and tie the kine to the cart, just attach them to the cart, tie these cows to the cart some way so that they can pull it, and bring their calves home from them. So these two milk cows had calves. They'd been used to having the calves with them all the time, and so now the calves were to be separated and taken home. So we see that this is going to be a true test now. God will have to intervene miraculously in order to have this cart go back to Israel, because these cows are not going to want to go to Israel. They're going to want to go back to home, back where their calves are, and they're going to want to stay in the place that they know and not take on a strange task of pulling a cart down a strange road away from their calves. Verse 8, And take the ark of the Lord, and lay it upon the cart, and put the jewels of gold, which you return him for a trespass offering, in a coffer by the side thereof. Now, they are offering jewels of gold for a trespass offering. And this word jewels can also be interpreted to mean implements or vessels. And we'd like to note that they're distorting the law of Moses. We never read where the law of Moses calls for gold to be offered for a trespass offering. The law of Moses required blood. But these Philistines interpret it their own way. They went about doing it the way they wanted to do it. And so they're sending gold. And we know that this is not what God required under the law, but they're not following the law. They're following their own way and very crudely applying some of the principles of the law to what they want to do here to appease God. And we have to be very careful that we today, when we worship God, that we not be also equally crude in our application of God's word and God's will to the things that He wants us to do. We can just get kind of a vague form of things and then go on about our mind, and we find that we're not pleasing to God at all. We're not doing what God wants us to do. And that's going to be the case here, of course. God doesn't accept gold for a trespass offering. We have no record of that being according to the will of God. But these Philistines are doing things their way. They're being guided by their priests and their diviners, but they do have a vague concept of some of the principles of the law of Moses. So they put the gold in a coffer by the side thereof and send it away that it may go, and see if it goeth by the way of his own coast to Bethshemesh. Now Bethshemesh is a place that's located in the northern part of Judah, kind of on the border of Judah and Dan. It is in the territory of the Israelites. And so if these two milk cows now will take this cart over to Bethshemesh, a place they'd never been to before, a strange road to them, taken away from their calves, then this would be proof that the God of Israel had brought about this great destruction on them. So they say, then he hath done us this great evil. But if not, we shall know that it is not his hand that smote us, it was a chance that happened to us. So they're putting God to quite a test here. God would have to miraculously intervene and cause this cart to go into Israel to take the ark back. And if he didn't do this, then they'd say that all this was just a chance that happened to us. It's just one of those things, these diseases, these deaths that we've had, this great plague that's been brought by the presence of the ark, the mice, the destruction of Dagon himself, just a chance. It wasn't really God at all that did it. If God doesn't follow through with this miracle and cause these milk cows to pull the ark over into Israel. How many times does God bring punishment upon those who are guilty of sin, and they interpret this punishment to simply be a chance thing? They do not connect it with God. They do not connect it with the judgment of God at all, and consequently, they do not repent and recognize God for it. Let us realize that if God punishes us, that we want to know that God is doing it so that we then can make a correction and come out for the better instead of for the worse. We're going to close at that point. Till next time, this is NC Crouch saying goodbye, friends.